Ramayana Ayodhya Kanda, Part 15. Placing Ram's sandals upon his head, Bharata mounted his chariot. Along with Shatrughna they set out, keeping the Brahmanas in front. And when they arrived at the ashram of Bharadvaj, the sage inquired whether Bharat had seen Ram and if he had accomplished his mission. Bharata replied that Ram was determined to observe his term of exile. Vasistha Muni then brought forth Ram's wooden sandals and requested Bharadvaj to empower them with the potency to fulfill the needs of the people of Ayodhya. This was ceremoniously done by Bharadvaj, and thereafter Bharata clasped the rishi's feet and took permission to depart. Returning by the same path he previously followed, Bharata finally arrived at the outskirts of Ayodhya. When he saw the city's desolate appearance, he said to Sumantra, "Without Ram, Ayodhya has no life. Just as the material body remains inert as soon as the living force passes out of it." Upon entering Dasharatha's palace, Bharata broke down and cried, seeing its stark appearance. Bharata then announced that he would retire to Nandigram to live as an ascetic. As the ministers praised his noble determination, Bharata called for his chariot and then departed with Shatrughna. And out of spontaneous affection, all of Ayodhya's citizens followed Bharata to Nandigram, a village just outside Ayodhya. Upon his arrival, Bharata first ordered his ministers to install Ram's shoes upon a royal throne. Thereafter, remaining at Nandigram with his army, Bharata submitted the state's affairs before Ram's shoes, including all the gifts presented to him. Bharata would often be seen holding the royal umbrella over Ram's shoes or fanning them with a chamara. In this way, Bharata ruled the kingdom for 14 years, always feeling himself subordinate to Lord Ram, who remained there in the form of his shoes. Meanwhile, Ram noticed that there was anxiety within the minds of the rishis living in the vicinity of Chitrakuta Mountain. Feeling that he might be the cause, Ram humbly approached the chief rishi. "I can see that something is disturbing the minds of you rishis living here. So please tell me why, if you can, especially if I am at fault." "Oh, my dear Ram, there could never be any fault on your part. Our fear is caused by the Rakshasas, headed by Kara, the younger brother of Ravana. Being envious by nature, Kara and the other Rakshasas come before us in hideous forms and disrupt our sacrifices, polluting our bodies with impure substances. We shall have to move to another area before the Rakshasas resort to violence. And so I plan to take my disciples to the ashram of Ashvamuni, which is not far from here. So if you like, you may also accompany me and take up residence there." Ram gave the rishi permission to depart, but informed him that he would remain at Chitrakuta. Later on, however, Ram felt uncomfortable about staying there, since the memory of Bharata and his mothers haunted him. Ram also felt that the area had become contaminated by the stool of the horses and elephants of Bharata's army. And so, Ram finally made up his mind to go elsewhere. Ram, Sita and Lakshman thus left Chitrakuta for the ashram of Atri Rishi, where they were received affectionately as if they were the rishi's own children. When Atri called for his aged wife, Anasuya, to welcome Sita, the eternal consort of Lord Ram approached that ascetic woman with great humility. Having greeted the hermitess, who was endowed with self-restraint, Sita, full of joy, inquired about Anasuya's health with joined palms. Seeing the highly blessed and celebrated Sita, who was given to the practice of virtue, the old lady thereupon comfortingly said to Sita, "Luckily enough, you have your eyes fixed on righteousness. O Sita, I am glad that you are following your husband Sri Ram, who has been exiled to the forest. Worlds that are attended with great prosperity await those women to whom their husband is dear, no matter where he lives, either in a city or in a forest, whether he is congenial or adverse. In the eyes of women who are blessed with a noble disposition, the husband is the highest deity, no matter whether he is ill-mannered or licentious or entirely devoid of riches. I do not see for a woman a friend greater than the husband, or more capable of yielding one's desired object at all places, like the imperishable fruit of one's austerities. O princess of the Videha kingdom, those evil women, however, whose hearts are swayed by selfish desire, who lord it over their husband, having no sense of virtue and vice, and who move about at will, do not follow the husband in the aforesaid manner. Indeed, fallen prey to lust, women who belong to that category only meet with a fall from virtue and also reap infamy, O Princess of Mithila. On the other hand, women like you, who are adorned with virtues like devotion to their husband, and who know what is good and evil in this world, will dwell in heaven in the same way as those who have performed meritorious deeds. Therefore, remaining devoted to the service of this Prince Ram, and looking upon him as the foremost object of your worship, carefully serving him, practice virtue in cooperation with your husband. Thereby, you will easily attain fame as well as religious merit." Appreciating Anasuya's words, Sita modestly replied, "This instruction which you have given to me is no matter for wonder on your holiness' part, for it is, however, already known to me how the husband is to be adored by a chaste wife. And even if this husband of mine were ignoble and without any means of livelihood, I ought to have nonetheless conducted myself in the same way without any hesitation or scruple towards him, for this is my duty. Then how much more worthy of devotion is he, one who is deserving of praise by virtue of his excellences and superior qualities, headed by compassion. He who has controlled his senses, who is constant in his love, whose mind is set on righteousness, and who is as loving as the mother and father combined. Sri Ram, who is possessed of great might, has certainly conducted himself towards the other consorts of the king, such as his stepmothers, in the same way as he did towards his own mother, Kaushalya. Whatever was taught to me by my mother-in-law while I was coming to this lonely forest stands ever inscribed on my heart. Nay, that lesson also, which was actually imparted to me in the past by my own mother, while making over my hand to the bridegroom at the time of marriage, and in the presence of the sacred fire, is still remembered by me. And all that teaching has actually been renewed in my mind by your teachings, O Lady given to the practice of virtue. No austerity other than service to the husband is enjoined upon a wife. Steadfast in their vow of fidelity to their husbands, many exalted women are highly respected in the realm of gods by dint of their meritorious action. O Sita, I am most pleased to hear this from you. My dear child, I therefore wish to offer you a benediction. Using my ample stock of ascetic merit, just tell me whatever you would like. O Anasuya, O great saintly lady, your presence is itself the most sufficient benediction. Nevertheless, Anasuya happily gave Sita a celestial garland that never faded. She also gave her celestial garments, ornaments, and cosmetics that were all inexhaustible. Then, when Anasuya requested her to narrate the story of her marriage to Ram, Sita replied, "While my father, King Janaka, was once plowing the soil to prepare a sacrificial altar, I suddenly emerged from the earth covered with dust. A celestial voice then announced that I should be accepted by the childless king. Thus, I was raised as the daughter of Maharaj Janaka. Then, as I approached puberty, my father became anxious, since he could not find a suitable husband for such a divinely born girl. Finally, he decided to hold a swayamvara, wherein I would be allowed to marry anyone who could string the bow of Lord Shiva, which was given by Varuna to our ancestor, Devarata. However, even the greatest of kings failed to lift the bow, what to speak of stringing it. However, Ram arrived at Mithila along with sage Vishvamitra, and Ram easily broke the bow in two after stringing it. But Ram would not accept me as his wife until he received permission from his own father, Maharaj Dasarath. Thus, it was only after the arrival of the Kosala king that the marriage ceremony was performed. After Sita had told the story, and evening was approaching, Anasuya requested Sita to attend to her husband after adorning herself with her newly acquired jewels. Ram was pleased to see Sita so exquisitely decorated, and that night they slept at the ashram of Atri Rishi. The next morning, Ram inquired from the Rishi about the path leading to the Dandaka forest. The sage then gave Ram directions, but warned him, "O Ram, that forest is infested with fierce and malicious rakshasas, and they take pleasure in devouring anyone living there who neglects to rinse his mouth after eating or drinking, or who is inattentive in following any other religious injunction." So thereafter, Ram took leave of Atri Rishi, and accompanied by Sita and Lakshman, entered the dense forest, just like the moon entering a mass of dark clouds. Thus ends Ramayana, Ayodhya Kanda. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.